Greetings and welcome to our online worship service for March 28th, Palm Sunday. While our in-person gatherings remain on hold, there's still lots happening, especially as we enter into Holy Week today. If you receive our bulletins, I would refer you to those for information about some of our online gatherings, activities taking place. And if you don't yet receive our bulletins, but would like to, please contact our office, and we'll add you to the list there. During this time, you'll know we're sending out both email and hard copy mailed bulletins. This Friday, of course, is Good Friday, and in addition to our online service, which we'll be making available, we're planning for a time of at-home communion, and we invite you to be in preparation for that this week. And then following that will be our online Easter service, which, again, will be posted ready for Sunday morning viewing. We're inviting you to drop off flowers for display in the sanctuary when we record our service for that day, for that Easter service. This is an annual tradition of ours, and we wanted to do something a bit different this year with that. And so we'll be dropping off those flowers for individuals and families in our congregation who are dealing with challenging circumstances at this time. I thought this was a unique opportunity to bless one another and brighten someone else's day, and so encourage you to contribute if you're able. You can find information about dropping flowers off in the bulletin or by contacting Eileen at the office. As we quickly approach Easter, I also wanted to remind you to be baking your bread if you haven't done so already. Good to hear what some of you have been making. You'll know if you're on one of our mailing lists that you'll have received a packet of yeast and a greeting cards. And the invitation is for you to bake a loaf of bread for a neighbor or a friend and drop it off safely in this time. It's a small creative way to bless our neighbors during a difficult season. And we are at a unique and challenging point in the pandemic. Certainly a sense of optimism and relief with vaccinations continuing to take place and spring unfolding, but certainly concerns still with rising case numbers, spread of variants, and maybe for some a false sense of security that comes with receiving that first shot. And so hearing that this coming holiday weekend will prove critical in determining what these next weeks and months look like. I know many of us are feeling so weary of this, myself included, but we continue to encourage you to take precautions. These are things that we continue to do out of love for our neighbor, and especially the most vulnerable of our neighbors. Our call to worship for today comes from Psalm 25, verses 1 to 4. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. I'd invite you to pray with me. We welcome you here today, Jesus. In a way, it feels like you're welcome into Jerusalem, which is to say it doesn't feel quite right. It doesn't feel like it's enough, Jesus. We should have a full procession for you. We should have flags, red carpets, and a chariot. Instead, it seems that all we have is a borrowed donkey, some palm branches that we pulled from the ditch, and a few sweaty cloaks to lay down in the dirt. But we invite you to enter into it all the same, Jesus, just as you entered into Jerusalem so long ago. We invite you to enter into this makeshift reception of ours today. We trust when you say you care more about our spirits than any spectacle or show. And so from our homes, we lift up our hearts and we lift up our weary voices and cry, Hosanna, come and save us, come and help us. Blessed are you, Jesus, as you come now in the name of our Lord's. It's in that name that we pray, amen. Typically, we'd have our Sunday school children come waving palm branches. Because we're not able to do that in person today, we recorded them doing it from home. And we invite you to watch that now And following that, we'll hear music from Trudy. Invite you to pray with me once more. God, we know that this is supposed to be a day of excitement and hope and possibility, but mixed with that is that sense of victory. Many of us feel a sense of weariness and defeat today. And so we ask, God, that you would restore to us a sense of triumph. Not the triumph of earthly princes and kings, not the triumph of warlords on horses, not the triumph of power grabbing or agenda pushing, not the triumph of satisfying our wants and needs, not the triumph of asserting our rights and freedoms. No, we ask, God, that you would restore to us a sense of triumph that we see so clearly in Jesus, a triumph born in powerlessness and smallness and weakness, a triumph of self-sacrificial love that forsakes all for the sake of others, a triumph of salvation that is wrought through the endurance of suffering. Restore to us, God, the triumph of the colts and the cross. Restore to us a sense of excitement and hope and possibility these days. God, we're grateful for these days as challenging as they continue to be in so many ways. We're grateful for the arrival of spring, for the sunlight that pours through our windows and lifts our spirits. We're grateful for vaccinations that continue to be rolled out, for your provision and healing through technology and medicine. God, we're grateful for our family and friends with whom we're able to remain connected even while we continue to be apart. God, we pray for our community today, for those who are working and working from home, for those who are studying, be it in class or at the kitchen table, for those who are retired and are volunteering these weeks, for those who spend their days caring for their loved ones, for those who are in care, who are healing, and especially those who are mourning today. God, pray for each of us, wherever we might find ourselves these weeks. Give us strength and patience for the weeks ahead as we continue to bear with measures in order to keep one another safe. We ask that you would bless the rest of our time, bless the reading of your words and your servant as he speaks. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Trudy will now play for us the music of All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Thank you.
Good morning. Scripture reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 11, verses 27 to 33, where the authority of Jesus is questioned. They arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you authority to do this?" Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Tell me." They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, 'Then why didn't you believe him?' But if we say from men," they feared the people, for everyone held that John was really a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." May God bless his may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Vic. Palm Sunday. The shadow of the cross looms close by, but this is Palm Sunday, the day recognized by Christians as Parade Day, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a young donkey, in stark contrast to the practice of military victors who rode powerful stallions. Palm Sunday, also the symbolic demonstration by Jesus of Scripture's prophetic words, "Zion's King, God's Messiah, coming as the Prince of Peace." The Old Testament prophet Zechariah wrote, "See, your King comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." After the parade, the palm branches littered the sides of the road where they dried in the sun like garbage left behind by parade spectators. The day after the parade, Jesus was back in Jerusalem. Jesus went to the temple and saw the crowds of people. It was a hub of commotion and activity. The large area of the outer court in the temple was the space intended for the Gentile believers to pray and to worship, as they were not allowed to enter the inner court, which was reserved for the Jews. Yet the outer court had become packed with those who exchanged currency of the foreigners. It became filled with those who bought and sold the various animals which were used for the offerings of sacrifice to God. There was religious activity, for sure, yet it all seemed empty of spiritual depth. A noisy beehive of activity, and nowhere for the Gentiles or anyone else to pray. And on that day, amongst the clamor of commercial transactions, Jesus threw a fit of raging anger. Heaving tables, cracking a whip, he sent merchandise flying, sheep fleeing, birds flapping, coins rolling, and people scrambling for cover. Quoting the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, Jesus declared, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." While Jesus caused a major upheaval in the business of the temple worship, I'm sure that within a few hours, everything was back to normal, back in order, and back to business. In our Bible reading for today, which Vic read for us, Jesus and his disciples are again back in Jerusalem at the temple court. And given all the chaos that Jesus had created the day before, it's no wonder the religious leaders, they're quick to confront Jesus. And a tense standoff develops. By what authority? Who gave you this authority? The question of authority determines one's power to act on behalf of others. I'd been standing in line for a long time, dragging my luggage along what seemed to be a mile-long obstacle course. At the airport, a representative controlled the flow of people who individually presented themselves to officers at their desks. When it was finally my turn, the man behind the desk didn't look at me. He simply said, "Passport." And I was obligated to stand still while the officer scanned my passport, clicked his computer keyboard, and eventually looked at me. I had no choice in the matter. The man in uniform would not allow me to proceed until my documents, my identity, had been confirmed. This person had authority. People working in this role have great responsibility. And if you've ever crossed international borders, you know of what I speak. In my own experience, there have been situations when this person has grilled me with questions, and I've even been taken aside on occasion for secondary questioning. And I admit, on these occasions, I've been rather nervous about the conversations, because these people hold immense power. The emotion is a combination of respect for the responsibility they have, but it's also a certainty, uncertainty of fear for what they may decide about me. With these people, I've learned not to ask questions, to answer their questions in a straightforward manner, because to challenge their authority or refuse their questions, that's a mistake. When given permission by the officer, then and only then does one proceed. Back at the temple in Jerusalem, people with great responsibility, they ask Jesus, "By what authority? Who gave you authority?" I envision a stiff silence as the religious leaders expect an answer from Jesus. And the gospel writer Mark, who has a pattern of moving the dialogue and the action along quickly, but in this scene you can hear the pause. I imagine Jesus taking his time, looking each of the religious leaders in the eye, and he considers his answer. Did you hear it? The pin that dropped in the silence. It was more like a bombshell when Jesus finally replies to them. And I don't know about you, but every once in a while, a question comes up that rattles my thinking, that challenges my intellect and stirs my understanding of God. Jesus has a way of doing that to me. Time and again, the parables told by Jesus, his teachings, probe and poke at my understanding of God's love and grace at work in my life and the lives of others. You know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. Many who are first will be last. and the last, first. Jesus has a way of turning conventional thinking upside down. Is it not the wealthy who've been blessed by God? And is it not those who have first place, God's best? When I question Jesus about truth and authority, Jesus challenges my assumptions and skillfully asks a question in reply. John's baptism, was it from heaven or human origin? Tell me. Jesus demands an answer. What we read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, it's not about them. It is about us. Is baptism simply something we do, a rite of adult passage? Or is there something greater at work in the act of being baptized? Is baptism a sign of God at work in my life? Or is it a ritual to calm grandma's nerves? There's a reason why we as a Mennonite church call it believer's baptism. There's a reason why we share baptism upon confession of faith amongst the community of faith. John's baptism, where was it from? By whose authority was John baptizing? By whose authority are you, or might you, be baptized? The question of Jesus takes us to the starting point of faith, and Jesus does demand an answer. Baptism, is it something that happened in the past, done away with? Or is it a faith commitment to follow Jesus today? If you've not been baptized, has God been at work in your life? Young or senior, there is wisdom in a relationship with Jesus that gives meaning and purpose to your life. It's not always about the answer, but the ability to ask good questions. And Jesus prods and stirs my curiosity with his questions in a way that makes me more curious and want to follow him. The religious leaders standing before Jesus, they had to make a decision. They had authority and control over the use of space in the temple courts. They controlled the ebb and flow of the religious activity. And at some point in the past, they had given authority for the space designated for the Gentiles to worship, to be used for the money changers and the selling of animals for sacrifice. It was the religious leaders who determined that that bit of real estate, that it was more valuable for temple business than for foreigners to pray. When Jesus was questioned about his authority, his reply had nothing to do with his credentials. In our scripture reading today, it's now the third day. Third day after Jesus paraded into Jerusalem with the palm branches and the donkey and the coats and the children shouting and the noise. And it's easy to get caught up in the emotion of a parade. The whole community turns out, the streets are lined, the band blares out the marching tune, the floats are decorated with color, and sitting on top are the celebrated members of community. It's easy to get caught up in the parade of organized religion, keeping its machinery running smoothly, practicing the external forms, while at the same time losing the simplicity of faith, communion with God, reconciled relationships, and a life that's transformed. when Jesus presses the question of John's baptism, the religious leaders, they pull together in a huddle. They review the debates they've had before. They've talked about John and his baptizing out there at the wilderness in the Jordan. They know the discussions. John's baptism, based upon a confession of sin and the desire to make things right with God, was God really at work, or was John's zeal just the thing that simply got him killed, losing his head over it? You see, Jesus' question of John's baptism was really a challenge to the authority of those who controlled the worship in the temple. And in the conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders, those who lose the battle of words return later with swords. Baptism is the sign of God's work of forgiveness of sins, the commitment of faith to follow Jesus as Savior and Lord, the desire to be part of the community of the church who are engaged in God's work in the world. And what about you? Is your religion, is it about holding authority? Is your faith reduced to religious rituals, going through the motions, cheering while the parade goes by? It's easy. Any child, anyone can do it. Picking up your cross, knowing where it leads. Got to think about that one. Has Jesus challenged any of your long-held assumptions? If you don't know, perhaps Jesus won't say. Amen. Thank you to Trudy for sharing in music, Vic leading in scripture, Pastor Nick the leading earlier, and also thank you to those of you who are behind the scenes who make our services possible. In the gospel stories, a lot happens between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. I encourage you to spend time this week reading prayerfully, considering what Jesus did say prior to his final clash with authorities and his greatest act of salvation for you and for me. I hope you'll join us for worship on Good Friday morning And as mentioned, in response to remembering Jesus' death on the cross, you'll be invited to share a commitment of faith in Jesus by partaking of bread and cup in remembrance of him in your homes. And now these words of blessing as you go into your day. Be strengthened in prayer for the love of God. Keep your focus on Jesus, who will keep you from stumbling. Have mercy on those who waver in faith. Be confident in the one who has authority to present you blameless before God, both now and for all time. Amen. Thanks for joining us. Go in peace.